Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Matt joins me, and before we dive into a race review, want to make sure you check out all the other podcasts on the network we are now a part of, Evergreen Podcasts. Go to evergreenpodcasts.com and check them out. There's some really cool non-sports related shows on there to check out. But Matt, we're going to start something new on the F1 side here, and I didn't tell you this. We're going to do a trivia question to you.
I love that.
At the start. And
every week.
Every week I remember. So, which might be like once a month. But this one should be pretty easy. So, obviously, Bottas ended his winless streak with the win this weekend. He has one other winless season with Mercedes. What year was it?
I kind of feel like it has to be 2017.
2018.
Ugh. He won one in his first year.
Apparently so, yeah. Yeah, that's the trivia question. Obviously, Bottas won the race, and Verstappen second, Perez third. Where do you want to start? So how about this? Was Turkey, despite being kind of rainy, the most boring wet weather race you've ever seen?
Ooh, Sunday was rough. I went to bed at 3:30, woke up at 7, stayed awake for one lap, would fall asleep for the next lap. Which apparently was a mix of my sleep and the race itself. For about the first 18 laps, and then I just texted you like, hey, I cannot cover the race. Like, I cannot stay awake for this. So I watched it later, but it was a fine. I mean, it was a lot better last year. I know last year had a lot of different kind of circumstances with the weather and drying and what tire to use, things like that. Should we stay out and go to the end on used inters? And we kind of had the same thing this year, but I just couldn't put my finger on why this year wasn't as fun. It was kind of a bummer. The penalty at the beginning with Gasly was complete bullshit. Yeah. And there was a couple other things in the race that were kind of frustrating. But, you know, Mick not being able to go to try for Q3 was very frustrating. And then having his race ruined immediately was also very frustrating.
No, he was in Q2.
Kind of, yeah.
He ran in Q2. I said Mick ran in Q2.
Yeah, I know. But he had his Q3 potential lap wrecked by yellow. So, and that was, I had him as my top 10 dark horse. I was getting a little giddy, and then, and then everything went south from there. Yeah, I think, obviously, big championship day for Verstappen because he put +8 on Lewis because Lewis's penalty. But, yeah, I don't know. Just didn't, Perez had a good job of holding up Hamilton. I hope Bottas was watching that. That's how you're supposed to be, that's what you're supposed to do when you're the second driver, is do those kinds of things instead of just letting Hamilton drive right past you.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point there. But yeah, there was some good defending moments. Obviously, you know, Tsunoda on Hamilton, Perez on Hamilton that were entertaining. I was hoping Vettel on slicks would be more entertaining than it was, and that's no fault to Sebastian for trying. It just obviously was the incorrect decision there. But you know, not much you can do about that. But the penalties or the inconsistency in the FIA is again incredibly frustrating. Gasly gets a penalty in a situation where he's kind of three wide, and what was that, turn one, I guess, makes contact with Alonso spins off, gets a 5-second penalty. Okay, well, later that same lap, Alonso hits Mick Schumacher, Mick spins, Mick recovers to finish, finishes 19th, two laps down, and really never was on pace. So I don't understand what the difference between what Alonso did and what Gasly did, because neither were egregious mistakes, but one got a penalty and one didn't. Even Alonso came out and said, I don't know why Pierre got a penalty. So it just makes no sense. I think that's one of the most we can look back on, as fun as this F1 season has been, the inconsistency in the FIA stewarding decisions is mind-bogglingly annoying.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's pretty dumb. I think some of the decisions have been poor. Just hoping that is something that's analyzed in the offseason for changes, because pretty dumb. But then on the other hand, I didn't see Mazepin getting any sort of
feedback
for him cutting off Hamilton, did he?
Nope. Not even a talking to or anything, which is, again, mind-boggling. How much is Dimitri paying on the side every weekend to to help out.
See, there you go, your tinfoil. I guess the only other note I had, it's probably going to be a pretty short episode today. We don't really have a lot to talk about. The only other note I have is, what did you make of the special Red Bull livery?
Loved it. It still ranks behind the Gulf McLaren livery for me, but it was very well done. I think Cody Bray was saying this. I don't know if it was last night during our league race or over the weekend, that they should have done the white rims too, kind of like AlphaTauri, because that would have been real slick. But nonetheless, it was really well done.
Yeah, I think we talked about it too. I think commercially switching up liveries every now and then is very good for your brand recognition and whatnot. So I loved it too. I was kind of bummed they didn't get to do this in Japan, which was the original thought, but still really awesome to pay tribute to Honda like that before they go. No retirements, just a couple contacts. Sainz had a good drive. He's kind of Sainz and Ricciardo started next to each other, but it seems like that Ferrari power plays big dividends so far in the results.
What'd you think about the decision for Lewis to pit versus not pit? Where do you fall? You fall on Lewis's side or do you fall on Mercedes' side?
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. And same with Charles and what they did too. You know, if it's me and I'm the driver, I'm asking to stay out too. I'll have to look at the fine print of the data, because what Mercedes was saying was that you were going to get passed anyways, and I'm not super sure about that. Obviously, they have some software or something they're using to try and predict that, and there are variables you can't account for sometimes that just don't come true. If I was me, I would have tried to do everything I can to stay out, but, you know, Hamilton trusted his team a week or two ago in Sochi, and it got him the win. So at a certain point, you kind of have to rely on your team to make those calls and go with it. But if it were me, I don't know what he put on, like, lap 50. I would have just tried to stay out.
See, I guess, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Knowing how Ocon's tire looked at the end there, and Lewis being in the championship battle, he's only down by 6 points, which is really just one position on track if they're, you know, fighting on the podium. First place is 25, second place is what, 18? So right there, that's a 7 point difference. So it's easy to make up and get back on top. So I have no problem with what Mercedes did. I think playing it safe and making sure you maximize points in the end in case of a tire blowout is the better call to make at this point in the season. If it's early in the year, yeah, I can see you gambling a little bit more. But at this point, I don't think it's necessarily a gamble you need to take. But at the same time, I don't think Mercedes necessarily armed Lewis with as much information in the cockpit as they probably could have, so he understood what was going on. It was kind of like half-hearted, like just come in and shut up, Lewis, is kind of what I felt like they were saying when I was watching. But yeah, I mean, I don't think either side is technically wrong. It's just how you interpret it.
You sound like a politician.
Yeah, well, that's, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
Well, should we go go through predictions? You just like gave both sides and split the middle. I like it.
Yeah.
Very political of you. I still have some Sochi predictions in here. Why do I do that? Who do we have doing good? I had Sainz. I needed to make sure I pay attention to who's got grid penalties going into the
That's
weekend.
That's 2 weeks in a row. You've
But P8 after starting. Yeah, P8 after starting P19, that was a very good effort, if you ask me. You had Gasly, P6. And can we comment? Did he serve a 5 second in the pits on a
yes.
stop? Do we
yes,
know?
He did.
Did that get tacked on?
No, it was during
okay.
the stop.
So, hypothetically, could have finished P5 had that not been a thing. But that's neither here nor there. And then French had Alonso.
Nope.
P16. We'll give him a pass on that.
No,
bad.
Pass.
I had Giovinazzi. Why?
Because I said so.
It's not how this works. For bad, I had Giovinazzi, P11. You had Hamilton, P5. We'll give it to you, I guess. I mean, yes, he had a grid penalty, but I still think that should have been a little higher up for him. And then Frenchie had Stroll, P9. So that was definitely... I mean, I guess even Giovinazzi, 11 is not terrible for him. Stroll, P9 is not terrible for him. So we kind of all...
It was all right.
Below average there. Dark Horse top 10, I had Schumacher, P19. Could have been different, but who knows. You had Vettel. What did you think of the tire gamble?
I wouldn't have gambled because clearly within one corner you could tell it wasn't working. and nobody else was even really thinking about putting on slicks at that point. I was flipping through the driver radio on F1 TV, and it really wasn't a conversation on the six or seven cars I was flipping through. So I appreciate the effort. You know, at that point, he was, what, 14th or 15th? You don't have much to lose by gambling. So, you know, 15th or 14th versus finishing 18th is nothing. So it's good effort, but not the right call.
And then Frenchie had Russell, who finished
15th.
Not great there on our parts again. Before I pull up the next thing here, did you see the comments today that Vettel made that basically the new hybrid engines aren't going far enough to address the climate crisis, and that if F1 is left in the dirt, it is, quote, rightfully so left behind?
I did, yes.
Did you? What do you have anything to say about that?
So I feel like I need to understand, like, the impact of what these engines do to a climate, maybe on, like, a basic level to, like, really have an opinion. I certainly appreciate Vettel's outspokenness on climate change issues, because things do need to change overall in the world, but I don't really know what to make of it, because I think he might be overreacting a little bit. Like, F1's not going to disappear off the planet if these engines aren't enough of a step in the right direction. But I also don't understand how an F1 engine affects the climate as much as maybe a climate scientist would. So I'm not going to pretend to sit here and make an opinion on that one.
Yes, I'm in the same area where I think that addressing the climate situation in the world is very important and something worth investing in, especially when you're a sport like Formula One that has high emissions of carbon, not only from the cars themselves, but, you know, getting all of the equipment from point A to point B 23 times a year, et cetera, can have an impact on the environment that I'm assuming there's data to support that it's more on the negative side of impacting the environment. It's kind of weird, you know, because I'll go ahead and say that this one time that you and I went through a school system that, you know, kind of when we were young was, you know, we got kind of the first wave of being educated on environmental issues. You know, it's kind of a millennial thing. I don't know too much prior to that, but, you know, like when Al Gore was starting to get going, I think that started the we should be teaching this to students kind of thing. So we've been hearing stuff for so many years now about how the world's going to be underwater in 2010 and things like that. So with Vettel, like, I agree it is something that we should address. I just don't think that not putting an emphasis on it means that F1's going to disappear forever, like you said. I think that's kind of a catchy statement to make. Yeah, it's like a statement that's going to raise awareness and get people talking about it, which could be a good thing, but it also might turn people off, because it's like, that's not how that works, in my opinion. You know, obviously if we, like, run out of oil tomorrow, then yes, we're going to have an issue on our hand, but we're quite a ways away from that happening. So anyways, I saw that, it caught my eye. I don't really tweet about it or anything, but caught my eye. We might as well keep the politics train going here with Alan Vandermeer, not vaccinated, has openly said he's not vaccinated, and he therefore cannot go to Qatar or Saudi Arabia, which require proof of vaccination. And then for reasons that I don't understand, the paddock at Abu Dhabi.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Coming up on 5-Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not, it's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because The news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5-Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Requires proof of vaccination. I don't know if every paddock does, but for some reason Abu Dhabi will. He is currently fighting his second round of the COVID-19 infection. He had one back in April, or maybe it was April last year. So basically he can't drive the medical car at those three races or for the next 2 weeks or whatever until he becomes COVID-19 free again. What do you make of all that?
Well, I think there's really one clear answer here, and I might upset some people by saying this, but if you have to go somewhere for your job that requires the vaccination and you don't have the vaccination, you should probably just get the vaccination. I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm not gonna go crazy like some people online. I'm just gonna say it might help your job, which kind of helps you get paid, which is kind of important to life. So you have a house and things like that. So, or get a new job. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, and I guess the only thing I'll say is I think some of the hate being directed at him or the forcing of beliefs on him in that what he is doing doesn't conform to what you might do is definitely causing some interesting takes on Twitter. So, I mean, do I think of less of Allen because of this? No, but I think it's a risky decision to go forward with what he's doing as far as career-wise. Yeah. So I would just say that even if your opinion differs than his, we don't need to stoop to...
Don't be like the internet.
Ad hominem attacks. Yeah. It's really hard. I don't... People have this idea that just because they have the ability to tweet their opinion as someone that they should at every point in the day...
Yeah, it's a Gen X thing.
And that can lead to a lot of negativity.
Actually, it's thing, too. So, you know, there's really... It's everybody. I was trying to find a way to make fun of you, and then I realized, like, the internet just sucks.
The internet is just terrible.
Well, on that note...
No way around it, so... Yeah.
I think that's it. Oh, no, we have to do Driver of the Day.
Well, I got three more things.
Okay.
First off... damn, we're on a roll here right now. Danica Patrick being a Sky presenter for the COTA race next week.
Couldn't care less, because I hardly ever watch F1 pre-race stuff anyway, and it's probably not going to change no matter what time the race is on. So for those who have their panties in a bunch over that, just wait until the race starts and turn the race on.
Did you have any impressions of her when she did the IndyCar stuff pre-race and things like that?
Didn't really mind her coverage. Didn't love it, didn't hate it. So if I were forced to watch it, would I watch it? Yes. I don't think it's as big of a deal as, again, the internet is making it out to be. Good for her.
Our tweets were pretty funny.
Oh, the tweets were awesome.
If you haven't checked our Twitter account out at Pitlane Parlay, we've gotten a lot of new followers recently, and we appreciate that. The latest on Colton Herta to Formula One and Andretti Autosport to Formula One is Andretti Autosport and Michael Andretti are currently in the process of purchasing 80% of the wing that owns the Alfa Romeo group, which is, again, Sauber. And so that is Islero Investments. So 80% of that would roughly cost about $404 million. And according to Racer Mag, they do now have the bag secured. So they have all of the money in place to go forward with it. Apparently, Michael Andretti will be at COTA to discuss further with the powers that be to get this process going for 2023. So it won't be next year as far as what we know. And indications are that Colton Herta will race an IndyCar in 2022, but with the ever-changing landscape, we can't promise anything. He is under contract with the team through 2023. And then there's the super license points things and things like that. So there is a lot of moving parts here to go on. Still could fall through, even though all the signs are pointing that this is going to happen. Shout out to Jake Query for throwing some love at us on Twitter. That was very nice of him. We did tweet about this news in September once we got a definitive link with where they were going. We had been hearing the same thing that others had been, that it could be Haas, Williams, or Alpha. And then once we got the signal for sure that it was going to be Alpha, we went ahead with permission from our source to tweet that out. So all good news there, right?
Yeah, I mean, things are looking promising. It's obviously with the super license and everything, you never know how things are going to work out. And like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head there. So I don't really have too much to add other than thanks to all the love and support once we started tweeting about it again this weekend.
Yes, very kind. And then last but definitely not least, I'm going to need you to put on your sympathy face for a second. Doesn't sound like China's going to be on the schedule next year.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sad.
I know. What a shame. Yeah. So the French Grand Prix is now back in the frame after being kind of left out. It apparently is moving to a date in July. Imola is now, quote-unquote, taking China's spot on a deal to 2025. And the Board of Sophistication, or whatever the f*** they call it in Formula One, is voting to ratify this new schedule that is, I think, October 16th. So just in a couple days here, they have to officially sign off on the schedule for next year. So we should have news next week, hopefully, about the schedule. But obviously, we will go ahead with it once F1's pretty good about releasing that stuff in a timely manner once it's all official. Yeah. So once they share, we will share with you guys.
Yeah, should be interesting. Doesn't sound like Turkey will be back next year, if I'm kind of reading between the lines on everything. That's kind of the one I haven't heard talked about at all. But yeah, we'll share it out. There's obviously no race this weekend, so they should have plenty of time to discuss things and get it done before the 16th, which is Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know, Friday, who knows, who cares.
I think that's the day I saw. I could be wrong.
Yeah, whatever, doesn't matter. Driver of the day, and then we'll end it from last weekend.
Oh gosh, yeah, I'll just highlight one. As far as both driver disappointed, nobody really disappointed me. Driver of the day, I'll give to Carlos Sainz. I thought his drive through the field was incredible, and kind of like a double shout out to Ferrari, because whatever advancements they've been making clearly seem to be working.
I will give it to Charles Leclerc. Led a bunch of laps, had really good pace all day, so we'll take the Ferrari there. Disappointment. If I'm going to take somebody, I'm going to take Fred for being a bowling ball and a Mick Schumacher on lap one there. But there wasn't a huge disappointment either, because, like you said, there really wasn't too much that happened. But, yeah, well, we'll wrap it up there. Obviously, no race this weekend. COTA next weekend. And I don't think there's like any interesting racing this weekend. So find something on Netflix, watch the Schumacher documentary if you haven't already. And ladies and gentlemen, have a lovely weekend of racing.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.